yesterday was New Year's Day. I had some people ask me what Pat and I were going to be doing for New Year's. I said, well, we're going to party. And they wondered. You're going to party? I said, yep. We're going to sit in our recliners. We ate chip and chip dip and partied. And we... make mine go up quicker than yours. You got a better picture of that. I thought she would not make it, but we were up till midnight and saw the ball drop in Times Square, and then we went to bed. Yes, yesterday was New Year's Day. It's a day of purpose. You know, without purpose, there's little or no hope. A person that lacks purpose just lacks direction. So many people live without any real purpose in life. One day follows another. Each day's activities are done out of necessity, sometimes just out of habit. A little bit of temporary joy, maybe. Some satisfaction from the things that are done, but any real, lasting, permanent purpose, well, for too many people, their life is void of it. One day follows another. Go to bed for what purpose? To sleep so you can get up. To do what? To do what you did the day before. To go through the day to get it done. To do what? To go home and go to bed. To get up and just a routine. Now, the Christian should not, certainly need not, have this empty kind of life. Just day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, just going through it. No purpose. Daily duty is not the highest purpose for the believer's life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. A God to glorify is what we sang. A charge to keep I have. What is that charge? A God to glorify. Why did I get saved? Well, I don't want to go to hell. Well, I don't either. And that's certainly not a wrong reason to get saved. But is that the reason that God has to save us? No, God's purpose in saving us is the purpose we then have for living, and that is a God to glorify. Born again persons, you and I, have the high purpose of glorifying God. The aim, the intention, the object of a Christian's life is to bring honor and respect to Jesus Christ. Once a person receives Christ as Savior and becomes part of the eternal family of God, then a job becomes more than just work. Now, it's a way that people can see Jesus Christ in us. Our relationships, be it within an immediate or extended family, or be it in a work situation, or be it in a church family, our relationships become more than they were before. That factory or office job now becomes an opportunity to fulfill the Christian purpose to glorify God. Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds religious. That sounds like something you'd hear in church preached. Yeah, but it's the truth.
Amen.
If all a person has is a religion in church, if all a person has is a religion that keeps them out of hell and takes them to heaven, and everything else is just like your unsaved neighbor, something is missing.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
And such a Christian with such a view and an attitude is a perfect candidate to become backslidden and a church dropout. Because people that have a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ are able to live for Jesus Christ wherever. May not like what goes on, may not like the way things happen, but they don't quit living for Jesus Christ. Whether it's a mother, a father, a daughter, an aunt, an uncle, a grandfather, grandmother, all of these relationships now become something different. Now this is some way that I can honor Jesus Christ. I'm thinking of Tanya's prayer request for her, her sisters, and wondering how it was, why is it, the things that she's observed in Tanya's family and with her boys. Well, you see, she's achieving the purpose for being saved, and that is to glorify God in our lives. Now, honor God because He dwells in our life. I cannot explain how He does this, but I do know that it will involve the Holy Spirit, His power, His guidance in our life. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21 says, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Where you work, there are unsaved people. You do the same job they do. Where you live, you have neighbors that are unsaved people. They pay the same taxes. They live in the same town. They live in the same area. They go to the same stores. But see, when we go to the stores, we're to be different. Our manner of conduct in the stores, the way we act with each other, the way we act with the clerks, all of this is important. Because, or let me ask this, how else will they see Christ in us? Everything else we do is like they do. So how, you know, what do? Walk around with, you know, Jesus Christ written on our forehead or something? No, they're to see it in how we live. Perhaps you're wondering when God will work in you this way. Well, I have some good news for you. I can tell you exactly when. Philippians chapter 2, if you will. Philippians chapter 2. When will God work in us? For it is God which worketh in you. When will He do it? He's already doing it. It is God which worketh. He's working now. Worketh in you. What's He working? To will and to do of His good pleasure. To will and to do of His good pleasure. He's already doing that. He's already working in you. So what we need is Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. Now I know that, but I'm going to turn and read it lest I misquote it. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2, and many of you know it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't act like the rest of this world acts. Don't talk like the rest of this world talks. Don't do the things the rest of this world does. Now, listen, ordinary things you're going to do because you're just an ordinary person. But I mean, when this world goes in a bar, you don't go in a bar. Okay? When this world gets something wrong at the register and cusses out the clerk, you don't do that. As a matter of fact, you try and be patient with the clerk.
Yes.
Maybe the clerk did something wrong, but you still don't show them your impatience. Why? Because they need to see Christ in us. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. There it is, transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to think like Jesus, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it is God which worketh in you, but then we are to cooperate with God. You see, God works in us, but he's not going to work against our will.
Amen.
He's not going to force us to be sweet and lovely. I mean, even when we cooperate with him, he's got quite a job in some cases. But we cooperate with God by presenting our bodies and being renewed in our mind, thinking like he thinks. You know, there are times I would rather think the way I feel like thinking. Have you ever been there? You know, now you know you ought to do and you know what is right to do, but really I'd rather just do it the way I feel. You know why? We're very comfortable in our old nature. It's what we were born with. But we were born again and we've now got a new nature. And we're still learning how to live with that. And that's why he tells us that we're to present our bodies. But be encouraged. While we're doing that from our side, he's already working from his side. New Year's Day, it's a day of purpose. A purpose in forgetting. I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 3 now. We were in chapter 2. I'm going to chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. There's a purpose in forgetting. 2018 undoubtedly included some disappointments. Every one of us, disappointments. It may have included some failures. Forget them. Let them go. Remembering them will only frustrate you. Failures in family life, failures in work life, failures in relationships with others, and failures in our spiritual life. Forget them. That's what Paul talks here, forgetting those things which are behind. Now we need to learn from our failures, but we should not be like Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife? She wanted to look back and see what was going on with what she liked. And so sometimes we say we forget that, but then we want to look back and see, well, what's happening with that person's life? How's it going for that person? And we want to look back. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Learn from our failures and don't be afraid to fail. If you're afraid to fail, you'll never try. You see, the person who's afraid to fail won't try. So whether it's in a relationship with someone, whether it's in a job situation, whether it's in an education, in school, young people, doesn't matter. Don't be afraid to fail. Just keep trying. Now, I'm not a sports fan. But I remember hearing one time that Ty Cobb, he made a statement, Ty Cobb can't fail. And of course, commentators and other players and all, they look at him, what do you mean you can't fail? And, you know, pointed out different ones. He said, no, Ty Cobb can't fail. It was his way of not giving in to failures.
Amen.
And of course, he's known for his what? I heard this all read off one time. He had more failures than successes. He had more times when he struck out than when he made a home run. But what's he known for? He's known for his successes because he kept trying. He kept trying. It's only people who don't try that are known for their failures. Don't dwell in your failures. Or you'll, if you dwell in your failures, you'll live in frustration and defeat. And you'll begin to try to, you'll convince yourself you can't. But you can. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And I know the context is different, but the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ. Now the context of that had a specific intention, but the point of it is still there. We can do all things in Christ. Why? Because it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen. That's good.
Boy, that's good. Whichever one of you got it. So don't look back to the old way of life. Remember the Israelites, they left Egypt, and then when they began to see some struggles, and you think you're going to accomplish, do we think we're going to accomplish something in life without work and without effort and without disappointments? Do we think we're going to accomplish anything without some kind of problems in life? Who do we think we are that we could float through life and good night? We're just ordinary people. There's a gospel song that just came to my head. Oh boy, ordinary people, an ordinary life. Fortunately, I can't remember more of it or I'd probably sing it. But the thing is, we can succeed. And now look, you just look in the mirror at yourself. Don't look at somebody else. Because that somebody else might be smarter than you. That somebody else might be more talented than you. That somebody else might be more capable than you. And all you'll do is get discouraged. But you see, God didn't call you to be smarter, more successful than somebody else. He just called you to succeed in your life. It's just what you can do. God isn't expecting any more from you than what you can do. Boy, if we can get hold of that, it's going to keep us. I know myself. You know, I get this. These thoughts come to me, and it's always in comparison with somebody else. But when I stand before God in the day of judgment, he isn't going to say, okay, Roger Hain, how come you didn't do what Caleb did and what Joshua did? He won't say that to me.
That's right.
He isn't going to say to Caleb and to Joshua, how come you didn't do like Pastor Hain did? He ain't going to say that.
Amen.
He's going to say, Joshua, how come you didn't do what you could do? He's going to say, Caleb, how come you didn't do what you could do?
Yes,
he's going to say to me, how come you didn't do what you could do, Pastor Hank? We stand accountable only for ourselves. Now, that's good news. That's good news. But it also makes us put ourselves on the line, doesn't it? 2019. Are we going to be more than we have been? By God's grace, we can be. He says in verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Now, there's some common things that all Christians have. More Bible reading, more prayer time, more attendance. More witnessing, whether verbally or giving out gospel tracts, volunteering for service, for tasks. I appreciate it. I don't know who it was. I know Brother Dale was going to get some of the Asquith men to help move that board. And he got some. I don't know which ones, but we'll give them all credit for it, all right? Just because you're an Asquith, you'll get credit for it, okay? And isn't that great? And you bet. Now, you all get a crown in heaven just because you're an Asquith. No, I can't show you a Bible verse for that. But you know, they got moved. Opportunities for service. Volunteering for service. I have a friend, he's in heaven now, Ralph Taylor. He was a great guy. He was a Marine in his younger years, and he became a pastor, and he ran the church, at least in the beginning of it, until he learned more. He ran it like a Marine would, you know, and he was something else. But he made this statement one time. He said, people do what is inspected, not just what is expected. Let me say that again. People do what is inspected, not just what is expected. And I was sharing that with Dale, and he said, yeah. He said, I learned that when I was at McDonald's. He told them there, the leadership, they were to assign tasks to various workers. But then they were taught, you go back and make sure they're doing it.
Right.
See, they're doing it right. Yes. That's why this business with the junior trustees, I may seem to be awful hard about that, but you know, we're not helping them.
Right.
If,
right.
You know, if we don't, we give them a job and then we teach them how to do it. Not
yes,
just
sir.
Like this water thing. Boy, this water thing is great, okay? Boy, if you're thirsty,
yeah.
You ought to have a cup of this. And if you give the message next time, they'll give you a cup. Anyway, see now this needs to be done. And it was. Tonight it was done. It was done before the service began. Okay? Now, I'm not going to say if you forget, you shouldn't come up and get it and go fill it up and bring it back. But, you know, the right way to do it is to do it before the service begins.
That's right,
sir. You know, I can't play and do that. No, then you can't serve.
That's right. That's
what
right.
You're choosing is to play more than to serve God. Okay, and so it needs to be done beforehand. Why?
Right.
Because we're trying to teach you. And it's not just what we expect you to do, but we're inspecting what you do.
That's right.
And that's true. And so like, we got a cleaning list, okay? And I was told that I was put on the reserve. If we need somebody bad enough, we'll call them list. I like to clean. I mean, that's what my job is at the library. And I got the job because I like to clean. You see, now when you clean, the vacuum, it's got a hose on it, right? And then, you know, there's attachments on it. One of those attachments is a long, narrow one. That's called a crevice tool. And you put the crevice tool on to get along the cracks. Now, I used to tell the people that clean over at Grace, the base of every pew, you use that crevice tool around it, both sides, I can mark both sides around at the base of everyone. You know how many pews there are? Yeah, but do you still use it around them? Why do you do that? Because there's little bits of grit and dirt and dust that gets around there. You say, well, I can't see it. No, that's what the person who did it before used it. You see, if you don't do it till you can see it now, it's not been cleaned before. The purpose of cleaning is to not see dirt.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If we only clean when we see it, that means there's several weeks where it hasn't been cleaned.
You're right. Exactly.
And so you clean it. You lost your purpose. No, I'm right on target.
Yes.
I'm right on target. But I do need to move along here, get back up to my notes because I don't know what's next. And and we need to be kind. We need to be considerate. You see, now some things are for everybody. Bible reading, tract distributing, serving in the church. But then each of us has specific things. Okay? One of the things I have to work on is not being impatient. And when I'm impatient, then sometimes I hear from my favorite lady, I'll hear, would you say that to so-and-so, and then she used the person's name that I've been interacting. Yeah. She said, no, you won't. We need... I didn't have trouble before you came back.
You're welcome.
We all have a new year in which to serve. And he tells us here that we're to press toward the mark. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. Higher ground, I'm pressing on. I press toward the mark. I'm pressing on the upward way. The things we sing demonstrate many times the truths of Scripture. Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the love and grace of Jesus Christ and our salvation. Now, Lord, we know to you, it's in a matter of eternity. But you know, Father, how we are creatures of time as you've made us, a beginning and an end. And you make great reference to time and to the days and the weeks of time. And so, Father, help us in this year of 2019 to live and serve in a way that will please you and with which, Father, we will be satisfied and content. Because we'll know, dear Father, we've done what we should. Now, as we go to prayer groups and intercede for others, please, dear Father, work on their behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.